providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm going to switch focus a little bit to the battery metals or electric vehicle metal plays that have garnered a lot of attention recently. And I know there are a lot of investors that want to try to take advantage of this uptrend. But quite frankly, when you break down some of the metals that are involved with this EV play, like nickel, copper, and lithium, they're a little bit less understood than some of the other, let's call them more mainstream metals, like gold, silver. Copper's tied in there, but again, nickel, lithium, this is new to a lot of investors. I am chatting with Steve Todoruk. He's an investment executive and geologist over at Sprott Global Resource Investments. Now, again, just to clarify, because I do bring Steve on about every 3 weeks, is that we cannot discuss individual companies due to regulations, due to regulatory issues, but you can, Steve has offered to help you analyze any companies that you have in your portfolio, ones that you are interested in, by emailing him. I will post his email address in the weekend show posting. If you can't find that email address, you can always email me directly, fleck@kereport.com. So Steve, let's start off in a broad sense, a broad look at the EV plays here, nickel, copper, lithium. What are some of your just initial comments when you hear from some of your clients that they want to get exposure? What do you tell them?
Hi, Corey. Thanks for having me. Part of the problem is that in the nickel space, you know, say specifically, is there's not a lot of significant nickel deposits out there. That transcends down into the junior mining space where, you know, with a lack of exploration in that sector, we haven't had a lot of significant discoveries in recent history. So juniors tend to go out and you know, grab, you know, acquire, get a hold of old properties. You might call them retreads. They've been worked and drilled in the past in previous decades, going back a long time, and they weren't good enough to be mined at that time. So they sat on the shelf, and now all of a sudden nickel's hot, you know, copper and lithium battery metal plays are, you know, our hot space to be in. And we're seeing a lot of these projects, you know, being reworked again. So it's kind of like, you know, I always take the stance there, buyer beware. If it didn't make it before, why is it going to make it this time? So just, you know, buyer beware, know what you're getting into.
Steve, what about when you're looking broadly, different jurisdictions or different assets, what does, in your eyes, make an attractive investment in these sectors, considering how new or how newly on the radar they are for investors?
As usual, I like to see grade. I want to see, you know, good attributes to a project. You know, the infrastructure is good. Country risk is, you know, reasonable, hopefully really good. You know, and then the types of nickel mineralization, if we're looking at nickel, is it nickel sulfide, which is the preferred end product that you want to end up with for the most part. Fortunately, we've got, you know, no nickel deposits are mined. You know, we've got a number of places in Canada, Thompson, Manitoba, Voisey Bay, around Sudbury in Ontario. So that's good if companies are exploring there. Down in Minnesota, the eastern U.S., you've got some. And Australia is quite well known for their nickel deposits. So that's the good news, is that, you know, at least if a junior is going to be, you know, working a project, you know, chances are pretty good it's going to be in a good country. So I like that.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, in terms of advancing projects, we all know mining does take a while, but what, in your eyes, is broad time frames for these type of projects? These are typically larger projects, so in my eyes, they do take longer to bring online. What do you look for in terms of developments and certain stages of projects?
Well, again, I've got, as we've talked on previous shows, I've got a pretty specific and exact niche. I like the new discoveries, so I want to see juniors out there that are, you know, doing basic exploration, starting with soil sampling, prospecting, geophysics, and then, you know, identifying targets and anomalies, and then they bring in the drill, and I'm hoping for that discovery drill hole. So we are getting some of that. You know, I'd probably say we're seeing a lot more of that raw early stage exploration happening in Western Australia specifically. And we've got, you know, maybe up to 5 nickel discoveries. Also Brazil, there's a nice junior that's got a pretty good looking nickel project down there. It's another country that's okay. I'm not a big fan of mining in Brazil, but it's certainly not the worst country out there. A lot of the Canadian and Eastern U.S. properties, like I referred to a few minutes ago, they've been around a long time and they've been worked and they're all, you know, they're all cashed up. The market's happy to finance them and that's good. But I'm hoping that on one of those properties that have been worked before with fresh new drilling that we'll find something, you know, brand new, bigger and good grade than what's been known there previously.
So as I mentioned on the onset, copper is a bit better known than these other metals, especially in terms of just the number of companies that are in the sector. Copper definitely has more companies than lithium companies, than nickel companies. However, recently, I think all three of the sectors have experienced a bit of a surge in terms of new companies. How important is it to understand the geology, though, of nickel assets and lithium assets in terms of end products? Because from my understanding, and I'm not overly well-versed in either of those sectors, but it's a lot different production scenario and a lot different geology than what you're looking at in simply, say, a gold or a copper mine.
Yeah, but just one comment there in regards to copper. Copper's extremely common used metal. We need copper every day we get up for all facets of life, you know, starting with infrastructure building. You don't need nickel and lithium, you know, nearly as much as those. We've got the big electric vehicle push, so that may, you know, light a fire, or if we could just see prolonged steady nickel prices, I'd be happy. Nickel tends to be, you know, quite volatile. You know, kind somewhat like zinc. Both those metals are very fickle, if you want.
So then in terms of different minerals or different makeups of minerals, when it comes to nickel and lithium, what do you see? What do you pay attention to?
Again, I'm definitely not an expert on lithium. What I sense, or the little I know there, is at the end product, like, there's different ways to process it. And some processes are more challenging. You know, they're going to need a lot of metallurgy, which usually involves or means more expensive to produce that end product. So you've got to, in this kind of a bull market in those sectors, the investor ideally knows what the end product's going to be and how the company's, you know, going to get to that end goal. And the companies are still trying to figure that out. So how's an investor supposed to figure it out? Yeah, I guess what I'd say to keep it simple, and I've got clients obviously phoning me up lately saying, what about lithium exposures? Even I say, I'm not an expert. Why don't we just keep it simple so we can both sleep good at night? Just buy the big lithium miners. You know, let their experts, they know what they're doing type of thing, rather than bringing the risk of, you know, trying to shift through the juniors to figure out which of the juniors have good projects. Just keep it simple and go for the big miners.
Yeah, absolutely. Protects you on that downside risk, but can still offer you that torque to the underlying commodity price there. Now, Steve, as I mentioned, there are a lot of new companies that have come into this sector. Everyone always talks about management. You need to pay attention to who the management is. Unfortunately, when we do see these sort of smaller sectors run, we see a lot of management teams that don't really care what metal they're in. They're just following the trend. What do you look for in a management team in these sectors that are a bit newer?
I try to make sure that the manager of the company isn't a group that's known to do exactly what you just said. They're chasing the flavor of the month on the hopes of, you know, raising money in a bull market and, you know, nice job stability type of thing. But as an investor, that doesn't excite me at all. So try and avoid that if you can.
Absolutely. When it comes to drill programs, then what do you like to see in certain drill programs when it comes to trying to make discoveries in these renewed sectors?
Don't go drilling a known deposit. You know, they're called market holes, director holes, twinning holes. You don't need to do that. It's rare that needs to be done. So if you've got a tiny or a small deposit, hopefully there's been enough work done, or the current company's done some, say, metallurgical work on that known deposit, just so you know that, hey, your property's prospective, the best place to look for a new deposit, right near a known one. So if there's a known small deposit, hopefully management has done some due diligence work to figure out, hey, this property, you know, it's justified to try some new ideas or some new lines of thinking on it. Maybe something has improved, whether that's metallurgy on the deposit or new geophysics or some kind of new technology. Go apply that on other targets on the property. You know, I'm all for that. That's how you make discoveries type of things. So keep an eye out for that if you can.
Yeah, definitely be aware of market holes or twinning of holes. Those can all be an issue. Final comments then, Steve. As a geologist, I realize not focused necessarily in these metals. Do you think that this trend, this battery or EV metal trend, is here to stay?
I think it is. You know, we all want to see a cleaner environment. So I drive a big yellow Hummer. It's 2007. It's a gas guzzler. I wish I could convert it to electric. I don't think that's possible. I might have to buy one of the new electric Hummers, but I think it's here to stay. It makes a lot of sense, and that this could be something in the nickel space that we've never seen before. You know, usually nickel is used for reinforcing steel and things like that. So this is a brand new application that looks and feels pretty good. So I'm all for getting good exposure to the sector, but just be careful. Know what you're buying. Do your homework.
Absolutely. Hey, Steve, it's great having you on the show. Thank you very much for your insights in these flavor of the month type sectors. But in all fairness, these sectors that do look like they have some longevity to them because of this move towards electrification and greener energy initiatives around the world that is picking up steam. Again, if you have any questions on individual stocks, you can email Steve directly. That email will be in the weekend show posting, or send me the email, fleck@kereport.com, and I will forward that on to Steve. Everybody, please keep the emails coming. I love hearing from you all week, and be sure to check back throughout the week and even recap a lot of those company interviews and sector-specific interviews that I conduct every day throughout the week. Everyone, Steve, you too, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you all for joining us.
Okay, thanks, Corey.